in tonight in our Bibles to the book of Luke. I'll turn to the book of Luke tonight, the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 26 through 39. I'll read the story here in the Synoptic Gospel of Luke about the maniac of Gadara that we've read about. And to get the whole story, sometimes you've got to read all three Synoptics and to get the whole complete story. But I'll use this as the basis right here tonight and pray the Lord will just help us tonight. Luke chapter 8, verse 26 through 39. Luke chapter 8, verse number 26. Verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils. The word for devils is the word demons that we talk about today. A long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee." And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. You may be seated tonight. I'd like to speak on the subject likened to this. If Legion could be saved, there's hope for you. If Legion could be saved, there is hope for you. Now, I want to tell you, I know how the devil operates, and to a certain extent. I mean, Paul said he wasn't ignorant of his devices, he wasn't ignorant of that. But I know he sends fiery darts into your mind, and he'll tell you everything. He'll give you a fit. I know the closer you get, the more of a fit he'll give you. And sometimes he uses people, preachers especially, and telling you there's no hope for you. You've gone too far. You've crossed the line. There's no hope for you. You're headed to hell. Ain't nothing you can do about it. That's the devil. But the devil is a liar. The Bible said he's the father of all lies. He's never told the truth yet. Amen. But as we think about that, that's what we see here, a condition of a man that was as about as bad a condition as a person could see on the outside as far as what was happening on the inside. And then I say tonight, if Legion could be saved, there's hope for you. And I know his name wasn't Legion in one way, but yet that's what you get out of the scripture when they ask him his name. They said Legion, but that was the demons talking and said they were speaking up for him. And I know I wrote one time in a paper something about Legion, a man we call Legion, and I got rebuked for that on a letter, and as a result of that, said, "Well, he wasn't." So I've tried to remind the people it's the maniac of Gadara, but yet the Bible said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Legion," but he didn't say it; the demon said it for him. And I'll explain that a little more in a minute. But if I'll use the term, if Legion could be saved, if he could get saved, there's hope for you. And he did get saved, so there's hope for you tonight, all right? First of all, I want to see a condition of Legion as we think about this. First of all, in his condition, he's helpless. Verse number 29 says this, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes, he had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." And really, that's the demons there, into the wilderness. And of course, the devil's behind all the demons, we know that. But he was helpless. He was driven by the devil. The devil used demons, the power of the air. Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, wherein in time past, talking to the saints of Ephesus, he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The devil is the ruler of the power of the air, and the power of the air is the demons. Then he said, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So the devil uses demons, the power of the air, to drive and to destroy and do everything he can to hurt someone and to lead them astray, to keep them from being saved. Now, here we say, they said that his name is, when he was asked his name, they said his name was Legion. Verse number 30 said this, though. He said, and Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion, because many devils were entered into him." The Bible says in the book of Mark, chapter 5, the Synoptic Gospel, here, chapter 5, verse 9, he said, and he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So it's not the man, the maniac of Gadara talking. It's the demons that's talking using his vocal cord. We are many. We're a legion, in other words. Now, the dictionary says that a legion is from 3,000 to 6,000 men. If you're talking about legion of men, 3,000 to 6,000. And the Greek says that in Jesus' day, it meant upwards of 5,000 men, a legion did. So we could say that this man had at least 5,000 demons in him. And therefore, we could rightly call him demon-possessed. There's no doubt about that. And in fact, the business of all the men mentioned in the Bible, demon-possessed, we could say that this man would be among the top 10 of the most demon-possessed of all times, at least what we see. You understand what we read about him. He would represent the height of demon possession. And when we compare ourselves with him, we could say, if Legion could get saved, then there's hope for me. You can say that for yourself. But you realize something, when it's not wise to compare yourself with somebody else, even with Legion, and yet we do in that sense. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." So you say, well, I'm glad I'm not as bad as Legion. Well, I won't tell you what will happen to you when you begin to do that. If we begin to classify ourselves with him or compare ourselves to him, if we're not careful, we'll get lifted up in pride and say, I'm glad I'm not as bad. And I would say, hey, that's a good thing in one way. But, folks, it's only by grace that we're not right all in a degradation like this man, that maniac of Gadara that said he's Legion. We could all be there in that place. And I want to tell you what, it takes just as much power to save you as it does to save Legion, the man called Legion, no matter. In other words, that's why I say, if Legion could be saved, and he was, he could get saved, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. But the Bible does say this. It says that in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now, when you think about being, he said that's before you were saved, St. Ephesus, and it includes all of us. Before saved, we walk according to our life is motivated, and our conversation, our manner of living is according to the course of this world. It's called peer pressure. How many times do we do things because the world does things? And we said that's the way to be accepted. We will do things that we wouldn't have done otherwise. You think back in your own life. There's some times you did some things that if it wasn't for the peer pressure, you wouldn't have done them. You wouldn't have done them. But you wanted to be accepted. You wanted to be accepted. And I'm not trying to put anybody, just take a little trip backwards just a little bit. Every one of us are there in that sense. The course of this world, you know what the course of this world, it says the spirit of this age is what that could be translated. That means rebellion. And that's exactly what's out there today in this old world is rebellion. But also he says the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil who's in control, dominating the demons of hell that's under his command. Just like God has an angel assigned to you, the devil's got a demon assigned to you. And somebody said, boy, the devil's after me today. Well, I tell you what, we probably hadn't even rated encountering him. Probably a good thing, because all he's got to do sometimes is just send a little old meek, weaselly demon our way, and we wind up yielding to that influence and going astray. And the devil don't have to spend his time with us. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's just grace that we're not all in that condition. And said that spirit works in the children of disobedience. And because we're the course of this world, rebellion. And we were in that. And then the verse 3 says there, lust of the flesh. This unbridled desire, the old depraved nature puts the desire. And that some of the desires you've got in your flesh is not wrong within themselves. But they're misdirected desires. Of the flesh is where you wind up giving unbridled desires, what it means. Unbridling the horse, you don't want to do that. You don't want to unbridle a horse. You may not use a bridle, you may use a hackamore, but it's still something that you kind of control that horse with. And so you don't want to let him have his head, because he might come along and do real good for a while, but after a while he decides he wants to do what he wants to do, and the way you go, and you get in trouble. I've seen that happen sometimes, but that's the way that we were. In other words, those three things, the world, the devil, and the flesh, control us before we were saved and are controlling every lost sinner, especially those that's not been awakened. And then also you're blinded in that condition. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4:3, we talked about being lost in this world, in whom, verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I use the expression there to shine down in their heart. And it shines down in their heart, and he'll find, seed will find lodging, and he don't want that to do that. So he blinds to keep the seed from coming into your heart. And we all were blinded. Oh, I look sometimes and see some that I try to deal with in different places and different ones you talk to. So blinded. It's so sad. But yet, how long was I blinded? You know, we sometimes don't have patience, I guess you could say, with those people, because we're on the other side now, and we think, well, I went through, somebody said one time he went through 16 months of problems being saved, and now you won't have to do it because I know how to get the job done, you know. Well, I want to tell you what, that won't work. What we go through is so that we can comfort others. And say, I understand, because the God of comfort comforted us, whatever we went through and what you're going through and what you're doing. You're going to have a group of people sometime that's going to be coming your way and talking to you and say, well, tell me how God brought you through that. And all you can do is just tell them. You can't make them. And you say, well, can't you see that? Blinded. But we ought to have a little more patience with them, because they just don't see. They just don't see. They've not yet been light. Well, you say they say they're saved. Well, a lot of people say they're saved. I mean, but that just sitting in a garage don't make you a car, because you say you are, you see. Somebody said, well, I'll sit in a donut shop and got a hole in my head. That means I'm a donut. No, it don't mean that. Amen. And you can say you're saved, but if it is, it's going to be something different. It's going to happen on the inside. And so we need to realize that we were blinded, we were deceived, we were controlled and dominated, and therefore making everyone being driven by the devil, helpless, just like this man Legion. I'm not that bad. Well, pride will get you to the place to say, we could have been. Just grace. I tell you, there's some running around about like Legion now. Some of them say they're saved, but they still, you go down to Walmart in the summertime, you'll find out they're naked. Amen. That's just about all you can say for it. There's not much between there and
and being clothed, you know. And so we're in a mess. We're in a mess. Helpless. That's what Legion was. That's what we are in our own lost condition. But if Legion could be saved, if he could get saved, and he did, then there's hope for us tonight. There's hope for me, you can say, for yourself in that. Not only was he helpless condition, he was shameless. Shameless. Verse number 27 said, he said, and when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, that's demons, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. He wear no clothes. He was naked. And it didn't bother him. It didn't bother him for him to be naked. He was completely possessed and occupied by the devils or the demons, that he was utterly unconscious of his own nakedness. No shame. The Bible says this in 1 Timothy 2:9. He's talking in like manner. He said, men lift up holy hands, but in like manner the women also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Doesn't mean you can't wear some things. It just means don't let that be the main thing that draws attention to you. But it says here that you're with shamefacedness. Adorn yourself with shamefacedness. That means bashfulness, blushing. And he says, in other words, in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety. Sobriety means self-control, soundness of mind. I won't tell you what lots some people wear around. I tell you, there's not too much soundness of mind in it. He didn't wear anything. He was just naked, totally stripped, birthday suit naked, okay? That's what it really amounts to in this case here. In other words, and in verse number 35, says this, he said, and then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man, after the whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid, the people did, of that area. It said after he was saved, he was in his right mind. So somebody said, well, he's out of his mind. He is shameless is what it amounts to. But yet he was in his right mind when he was saved. But he wasn't right in his mind before he was saved. That's opposite of sobriety. God says, for we ought to walk with sobriety, in other words, and shamefacedness and sobriety. Well, he was helpless, the condition. He's helpless, he's shameless, and he's friendless. Friendless. Verse 27 said again, and when he went forth to land, that's Jesus, of course, talking about crossing the Sea of Galilee here. He said, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wearing no clothes, neither abode any house but in the tombs. In other words, he was out by himself. He was cut off from his relatives and friends, if he'd had any. At this time, he didn't have any. He was friendless. Only those of same kind would hang around with him. You've heard of the phrase, birds of a feather flock together, and that's true. That's true. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew's account, in this synoptic gospel, he said in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 28, and it says here, and then when he was coming to the other side of the country of the Gennesarenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that by that way. Now you think a minute, why didn't Luke record it? He's talking about salvation. Evidently, the other man may have got delivered from devils, but he never got saved. We don't know. The scripture doesn't say. But there was two of them, birds of a feather flocked together, and that's all that was out there. And I tell you, when they were out there like that, I guarantee you there's a whole lot went on that wasn't supposed to be going on. Okay? We'll just leave it at that, and you can figure out the rest of it, because that's just the way the old depraved nature is in that sense. And so, as a result, they were helpless, they were shameless, and they were friendly. He was friendless, and so even if you ever feel like no one cares what you're going through, nobody really cares. I don't care how much people try to tell you they care, that you get to the place, I don't know that anyone really cares. Psalmist said, no man cares for my soul. And yet there is somebody, but you may not. But the devil isolates you and try to get you to run around naked and out there in the tombs and be friendless and in bad condition, helpless and shameless and friendless. But he was hopeless. He was hopeless. That's a condition. Hopeless within himself. He had no hope within himself. Oh, he could break the chains and fetters that men bound him with, but he was still helpless and hopeless of being free from the devils that had him bound. Why? Because he was driven of the devil, the Bible said, into the wilderness. That's the barren places. And into the tombs, the place of the dead. That's just like us. Did you know we're hopeless within ourselves? Bible says that pretty plain in Romans 5, verse number 6. He said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Talking about the saints there at Rome, but he said we were. Before we were saved without strength, that means we were weak for good. We couldn't do good. We were really, we were under the anesthesia of sin and had no real fear inside, no real hope, no real love, no real worship inside. And there's another thing that had slipped my mind there, but hope, fear, and love, and worship, and faith. Didn't have that inside. Well, you didn't know. You was blinded. Couldn't even think. Boy, I'm going to tell you, if you think just a little bit tonight with you being, you ought to thank God. You've got something to thank God for tonight, you see. And so that's what we were, helpless and hopeless in that sense. And just like he was. The Bible also said, and ungodly. That means we're strong for evil and weak for good. Without strength, weak for good. And then he said in verse 8 of Romans 5, but God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Actively, even in there, meaning engaged in sin by choice against the holy God. Didn't want nothing to do with God, and yet God loved us enough to die for us on Calvary. And we won't get into all the ramifications of that, but he's trying to give you hope tonight, and there is hope tonight. Well, he said also in chapter of Romans 5, verse number 10, for when we were enemies. We were enemies of God. Oh, I'm not God's enemy. We were. Every one of us were. And we could be right where Legion was. We'll call him that, okay? The maniac of Gadara. Helpless, shameless, hopeless. And what was the other one? Friendless. Didn't nobody care. But even though he was helpless and shameless and friendless and hopeless, that's his condition, he still had a desire. He had a desire. First of all, to get to Jesus. You say, I didn't know that. Well, he went. Now, I can't explain that. I can't give you the reason why he did. I know because verse 27 says again, but when he went forth to the land, Jesus went forth across the sea and went to land, there met him out of the city a certain man. Now, evidently the other man didn't come. He may not even got the demons. Well, it says another place they came to him, but here this certain man was the one that God did a work in his heart, no doubt, because the reason Luke recorded it this way. But he said he had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode any house, but in the tombs. So he had a desire to get to Jesus. He said he went out to meet Jesus. Now listen, the devil 5,000 pulling him and so strong on him, it's totally the grace of God that let him get to the feet of Jesus. I mean, you analyze demonic forces are strong, and they throw kids down on the ground and foamed at the mouth and everything in different places, and yet here's this man and had his influence with peer pressure. Another man with him, and they both went, but this man, he bowed at the feet of Jesus. He had a desire to get to Jesus. In fact, the business, Mark chapter 5, verse number 6, he said this, Mark chapter 5, this is a synoptic gospel of this. He said the same story, verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. He fell down prostrate before him. Hey, even with all the demonic influence, 5,000 demons in him, he still had a desire, and the Lord enabled him to get to his feet. Now, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. Amen. That is a miracle. Well, he did. He had a desire, and he saw Jesus. He ran and worshiped him, and that's an important thing to have as a desire. You may be helpless and hopeless and friendless and shameless. But I want to tell you what, it's good to have a desire. If you've got the least bit of desire, the least little touch of desire, Don't let that slip away. And I know God's the one who gave it to you, and God's the one who will enable you to keep it. But if you will make yourself available, he'll let you keep it. He'll work it, and he'll increase that desire to get to the feet of Jesus, you see. And so, therefore, that's an important thing to have. That's something you must not lose, a desire to get to Jesus, because he's the only one who can help you. Now, let's stop and analyze. Why did this man have a desire? Why did he have a desire? One who's friendless and helpless and hopeless and shameless. Why did he have a desire? Well, one who possibly had as many as 5,000 demons in him. One who was driven to and fro. One which no man could control. In other words, when they put fetters on him and chains, he literally was so strong, he broke them. Now, why did he have a desire to get to Jesus? Well, the scripture doesn't say why. But the principle of the scripture leads us to believe that Legion had seen someone real, somebody who had met Jesus and had been changed. It may have been a leper whom Jesus had healed that Legion saw and knew before when he was leprous. And he recognized the leper was healed, which no man could do. He knew no man could heal the leprosy. And the demons may have used Legion's tongue to curse that individual who may have tried to speak to him and tell him what Jesus had done for him and talked about the goodness of the Lord Jesus. The demons may have used Legion's body to even cause harm to the man who witnessed to him. But as he heard him speak and watched him live and take the persecution, there came a desire on the inside to meet Jesus, even though the devils drove him farther and harder away from everything, but he had a desire. Now, I know that we don't know that for certain, but I'm just trying to see the principle of the scripture. God uses human instrumentality. He uses somebody. The Bible talks about he reproves the world of sin. How does it, one of the word for reproves is to tell a fault. It means to use witness to somebody's life, to let them know that there's somebody that's real. And that's why he said, let your conversation be that that's honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they saw you beforehand, they know now there's something that's changed inside. And no doubt you'll curse and you'll do whatever possibility to try to get them to trip up. And they may trip up at times, but you'll hear them come back with, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. And it says that you'll glorify the Lord in the day of visitation. And Jesus visited him here. So the principle of scripture is there's a human instrument across his path somewhere. May have not said a whole lot, but he just lived something in front of him. And Legion probably, you can imagine what Legion would have said, cursing and ranting and raving. And he just took it because he knew he was saved. I'm just saying what's the principle of scripture, okay? I mean, I can't prove that, but neither can you disprove it, okay? But something caused him to have a desire, okay? I know God put it there. I know that, but I believe he used human instrumentality. He operates that way. The desire may have also come as a result of Legion recognizing that he had a need, but he had to see somebody that was need was satisfied in some form or fashion to let him know that he had a need. Before one will ever desire the Lord, he must recognize his need and realize it. Not just recognize it, but realize it. Gets down in the heart. Zacchaeus had a need. I don't know. He probably saw some of the men that he tried to collect taxes from or somebody that God had touched and healed. And it caused him to climb a sycamore tree to get to the, just so he could see Jesus. He wasn't expecting Jesus to even come by that way. But Jesus stopped under his tree. And then blind Bartimaeus just before that down in Jericho, the city of Jericho, they're passing that way for the last time. Jesus passed that way. And Bartimaeus knew he had a need. He was blind. He'd probably tried every remedy anybody ever told him. Somebody said, if you go out yonder and get some willow bark and rub on your eyes, it'll work. If you go get a lily out of the valley and rub on your eyes, it'll work. And it might work for some, but it didn't work for him. And he tried every avenue, no doctor and nothing about it whatsoever. But one day he heard about Jesus coming by and he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he wouldn't let the people hold him down and stopped him. They wanted to hush him up. You're disturbing the situation. No, he said, I've got a need. And so therefore he had a desire to get to Jesus and he got to him. Bartimaeus did, Zacchaeus did, and so did Legion here, if you please, the maniac of Gadara. Now, whatever it was that sparked the desire to get to Jesus, it came from God, and it's all of grace. grace. God's riches at Christ's expense, if you please. Grace. Isaiah 64:7 said, there's none that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. Bible said in Romans 3:11, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. If God didn't seek you first, you'd never seek God. So you see, it's of the Lord. It's of grace. It's all of grace. If you have a desire to get to Jesus and be saved, God placed that there, and that's just grace. And you've got a desire. You've got to have a desire for Jesus before you'll ever be saved. There's got to be a desire put in your heart. It might be a short, it might be long. I don't know, but it'll be there. The Bible said in Luke 13:24, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. We've heard that preached on last week, or week before last, whenever it was in the meeting, and not too long ago. But that strive to strain every fiber of your body to try to get to Jesus. And that's only those who've in the narrow way that's headed to the straight gate will even try to seek Jesus. The rest of them on the Broadway is going happy, going in the Broadway. They don't care. They could care less. They have no consciousness toward God and don't want God in that sense. So many of those who find the narrow way that leads to the straight gate, many of them don't enter in because they wasn't willing to pay the price when the pressure come and said, you've got to pay this price or that price. And so therefore, you realize that if you desire him, though, you'll be found at the place where he meets with his people. That's his church. That's where God meets with his people today. And in other words, you skip and miss, and you'll probably miss him when he shows up. And even if you're there when he shows up, it might just be to manifest himself to someone else besides you. If you don't have a desire, your desire, you'll get to the church, place where he meets with his people. If you've got a desire, you'll be found desiring him in his word. Acts 17:27, he said, and that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. You realize you must have a desire, and thank the Lord for those who've got a desire. And you ought to thank God if you've got just a little bit of desire to get to the feet of Jesus. You ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank God for that. Not only did Legion have a desire to get to Jesus, but I want to tell you something. Jesus desired to get to Legion. Jesus desired to get to Legion. You realize in 2 Peter 3:9, he said, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but his longsuffering to us was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's got a desire to get to you. You begin to move toward him, and he'll span the difference. You'll not have to go all the way. He'll come to you. Remember Brother Tim talking one day, it's about come to me. And before he got halfway up the aisle, before he even got halfway, about a third of the way, he ran back to meet him. And that's the way it is. Jesus went through the effort to get on that ship and cross over that day. You know why? He knew that man was going to come and fall down at his feet. And why? Legion had a desire to get to Jesus, but Jesus had a desire to get to Legion, if you please, at that time. Well, I know Ephesians 2, I read it a while ago, 1 through 3, where we're dead and we're controlled by the devil and the world and the flesh. That's there. That's our condition. But verse number 4 and 5 says this in verse number 4 and 5 of Ephesians. He said, but God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. God loved us. He's got a desire for you. That's why he robed himself in flesh to come to this world through a virgin's womb. Incarnation of God. God incarnate. That means God robed in flesh. That's why he did that. Because he loved you. He loved you so much that he went to the cross and died for you that you might have life, if you please. Well, you see, John 4:4, he told the disciples one day they were fixing to go north. Now, the people usually went around by the across the Jordan River. The Jews didn't want to go through Samaria. That's where the half-breeds were. A lot of the Jews would pray every day, don't let my eyes fall upon a Samaritan today. You talking about prejudice, they hated them. They hated them worse than what we have hatred in the United States today about the different color. They do. They had the hatred. And they would cross the Jordan River and go up the other side and go up to Galilee, or they'd go over by the Mediterranean Sea and go up. They wouldn't go through the land of Samaria, but John 4:4, whenever they got ready to go north to Galilee, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And I want to tell you, no matter where you're at and how much you may think, the devil try to tell you God don't do this and God don't love you and God don't do this, I will tell you what, he must needs go by your country one day, your area, your sycamore tree, if you please. I mean, he must needs do that because he's got a desire to get to you. And so therefore, when you desire him, he'll show up at the right place at the right time, not 1 second early or 1 second late. We've looked at the condition here and the desire of the man we call Legion, the maniac of Gadara. Now let's look at the salvation. First of all, the deliverance here. First from the demons, of course, had to have that. Bible said in verse 28 of our text verse, verse 28, he said, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." In other words, the demons was the one talking, using the vocal cords of the maniac of Gadara to talk there. Verse 29 says, he said, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." And so he commanded them to come out. Now Mark records this in Mark chapter 5, verse number 13. Mark 5:13, and he says, "And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and they heard ran violently down the steep place into the sea." There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. In other words, whenever Jesus gave them leave, actually the Greek on that could be he gave them a nod. They said, "Let us go into the swine. Don't let us go into the abyss. Don't let us go into the deep." And Jesus just said, didn't say. I know he said something, but he also just, that's all it takes, Jesus, give a nod. Wouldn't you like for him to nod your way? Deliver you from all the evil forces that's got hold of all of us. We've got enough of it, amen. We've got enough. Just a nod. He desires to get to you, and he desires to deliver you. And just a nod, it gave them leave. Just a nod. Verse 31 says they spoke up and said they besought him that he would not command them, that's the demons, more than one, 5,000 probably, to go out into the deep. The deep is the abyss. The abyss is the bottomless pit, the lake of fire. Now, they knew then that they were defeated foe, even though Jesus hadn't been to the cross yet, hadn't said it's finished yet. But they knew that they are a defeated foe. They know their days are numbered. I'm talking about the demon, and the devil does too. He knows that, you see. And so therefore, they know. You say, what do they know? They know who Jesus is. Verse number 28 said, "When he saw Jesus, cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High?'" Thou Son of God Most High. In other words, they know who Jesus is. There's a lot of preachers today don't know who Jesus is. A lot of people in our seminaries don't know who Jesus is, if really, when you get down to the bottom line. But the devils knew who Jesus is, who he was. And they know they're a defeated foe because he said, "I beseech thee." And of course, we beseech thee, torment me not. Well, it wasn't just one. It wasn't Legion that did it. The maniac of Gadara, the demon speaking inside. They were plural. Now, this was the demon speaking and not the man himself. James 2:19 says this, "Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believed and trembled." In other words, they say that the devils, demons, believed and trembled. That's more than most Baptists do. That means the hair rise up on the back of your neck and goosebumps run up and down your arm. And the devils believe. They believe. Somebody said, "All you got to do is believe." Well, the devils believe. They're not saved. So you got to have saving faith imparted to you before you can ever exercise that saving faith. But many Baptists don't believe as much as the devil. They don't believe the word. They don't believe the virgin birth of our Lord. And that ought to tell us something today. You see, verse 32 says, "Here these demons said, and there was there a herd of swine feeding, and many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them." The word "suffered" means to give leave, permit, just a nod. Allow them to go into the demons instead of into the abyss. Don't send us down to the place where we'll be locked up forever in that abyss, the deep. But let us go into those swine. See, the animals won't let the devil stay in them too long, and they'll go out and go into somebody else somewhere along the way. And so what happened? They said, "Let us go into those swine." He allowed them to do that. And they had to ask permission to do it before they could do it. You see, the devil can't do anything unless God gives him permission to do. And if God gives him permission to do something, it's okay. God works all things together for good, you see. Matthew 28:18 said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And whenever he just gave him a nod, said, gave him leave. Go in those swine. You go, I'll give you leave to do that. But when you get to Jesus, he has power to cast out all demons, and all must leave out before one will be delivered from the condemnation in hell. Yeah, I'm talking about the person. Someone said, I don't know exactly how to label them all, and I'm not going to study it, make a study on them, because when you do, you'll be encountered visitation from them. We don't need no more visitation we have. But somebody said there's 8 evil foul spirits, 8 different spirits, if you please, different kinds of demons. And sometimes what happens when they get under the power of God, some of those demons leave out, but some just sort of coy down and just hide and pull down. There's religious demons, by the way. There's religious demons that'll shout over a song, just to shout over a song, but they don't want to shout over the truth of the Word of God. I mean, you know, people, you watch the, I'm thankful for song. I appreciate song. But if all you ever think about is the songs, that God does something good for me here or there, it's just the songs, then you've got problems. It ought to be the preaching of the Word. There's where the foolishness of preaching, souls are saved. Thank God for the song. But some, that's all they've got. It stirs their emotion, and they get all excited. That could be a religious demon inside, getting them, trying to divert them from the truth so that they won't hear the truth. And so therefore, you think about that. I don't know, like I say, sometimes you get under the power of God, and some demons leave out, and some just sort of coy down and lay low until after the profession is made, and then they come back and exert themselves in a different way. In other words, giving you counterfeit salvation. But thank God, when Jesus manifests himself, all he has to do is nod. Give him leave. Just give him leave. And immediately 5,000 demons entered into 2,000 hogs, and the first place they went was to the beach. And they committed suicide, okay? Now, Brother Percy Ray preached a message. I never heard him preach it, but he preached a message. 2,000 dead hogs and no hot water. About Legion. The man called Legion. I don't know what. I never heard it. I don't know that we've got it on CD. But 2,000 dead hogs and no hot water. There's deliverance of the demons. But now, also, it went further with the man called Maniac of Gadara. The man called Legion is a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Old things pass away. What's passed away? Inward struggle is gone. Conviction of sins and unbelief is gone. Upheaval is gone. The nakedness is covered. Verse 35, he said, then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You see, nakedness was covered. Mental instability was gone. He's in his right mind. And all things become new. Old things passed away, and all things become new. He had peace. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He had a right mind. He had assurance. Now he had a friend, Jesus. Proverbs 18:24 said that Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And he's on the winning side. Romans 8:31 said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Philippians 4:13 said, and the victory's settled, because he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He's got a new desire. Verse 38, he said this in verse number 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, and of course what he said was here, he asked, in other words, he asked that he might go with Jesus. I want to go with you, Lord. Before he was in the tomb, but if you're saved, you'll desire him. You'll desire his church. You'll desire his word. You'll desire his fellowship. You'll desire his will. But Jesus said to him in verse 39, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things God had done unto him. In other words, Jesus said, go home to your friend. Well, he didn't have many friends, but still, there's going to be some people who won't listen to him now. Boy, something different about you, and I want to see what it is. And he did what the Lord said. Bible says in Psalm 40 about the psalmist David, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet on rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth. Many shall see it, and shall fear, and shall trust in the Lord. In other words, God wants to use human instrumentality. David said he would be an instrument that others might be trust the Lord and be saved. Fear God. If saved, it'll get out on you. But by your fruit you're known, the Bible said, and the fruit of the Spirit will grow in you. And the name of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It'll all be present in some form after you're saved. And so this man was in a terrible condition. I'm talking about the maniac of Gadara, but he had a desire to get to Jesus, and Jesus had a desire to get to him. And when he got to the feet of Jesus, he was saved. So I say tonight, if Legion could get saved, there's hope for you. Father, I pray that you help us to realize how helpless and how shameless and how friendless and how hopeless we are, and how we could be just as bad or worse than Legion. But the only way out is to meet Jesus. So I pray that somebody will get a desire to see Jesus. We try to lift him up day to day and time to time, that he might find Jesus, and Jesus has got a desire to meet them, that they might be saved. So I know the title again is, if Legion could be saved, there's hope for us. There's hope for me, that every seeker can say tonight, there's hope for you, is what we could say. So I pray you'd help us tonight. Let no one quench your spirit. We'll praise you. Give you glory for what's done, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. And for his sake we pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, altars open. Will you mind the Lord tonight as she plays?